Welcome to the Deep Dive. So, today we're looking at investment property refinancing in Australia. It feels like a real tightrope act right now.
Oh, definitely. You see these headline rates, you know, variable down near 5.19%, which sounds great.
Sounds amazing, yeah.
But actually getting those rates, that involves navigating some serious compliance hurdles.
Right. So, our mission today is maybe to cut through some of that red tape, figure out the actual tactics investors need.
Exactly. This isn't just about finding the lowest number. It's about understanding how to unlock equity, get the best terms, and importantly, manage how lenders see your risk profile.
Okay, let's start with what you call the refinance trap. This seems like the biggest wall for investors, especially those who got loans when rates were, well, much lower.
It is. It all comes down to APRA's serviceability standard. It's the non-negotiable bit.
Explain that. Why are people getting knocked back, even if they aren't borrowing more money?
Because the lender can't just assess you based on that shiny low rate you're applying for, like 5.19%. No, they have to stress test your ability to repay at a much higher hypothetical rate.
Okay, a stress test. How high are we talking?
Well, it's the higher of two things. Either it's a buffer currently set at 3.00% added on top of the loan's actual interest rate.
3%, right.
Or it's a specific minimum floor rate that the lender uses internally. Some big banks, for example, might have a floor around 5.40%, whichever is higher.
Hang on. So if the rate is 5.19%, add 3%. That's 8.19%. They're testing your income as if you had to pay that.
That's the one. And if your income doesn't stack up against that hypothetical high rate, then the application often just stops, dead in the water.
Doesn't matter how comfortably you're meeting payments today.
Nope, that's the trap.
Okay, so that's the wall. You mentioned LVR loan-to-value ratio is maybe the latter.
Yeah, LVR is critical for pricing. Our sources consistently show this competitive sweet spot.
Where's that?
Generally, between 60% and 80% LVR. Get your loan in that range, and rates can drop significantly, sometimes even below 5%, like maybe 4.99%.
But that hinges entirely on the property valuation the lender gets, right? If that comes in low, your LVR shoots up and you lose the sharp rate.
Precisely. And valuations can be, let's say, conservative sometimes.
So what's the play? How do you fight a low valuation?
You need data. It's a data-backed challenge. The standard protocol is providing the valuer with solid evidence.
Like what?
Specifically, a minimum of 3 comparable SLD properties, not just listed, sold, from nearby suburbs and recent within the last 3 to 6 months, ideally.
Okay, so you present that data pack to justify a higher, more realistic valuation.
Exactly. It forces them to look at the current market facts.
Got it. Now let's talk features versus the rate itself. Is the absolute lowest rate always the best deal?
Not necessarily. Sophisticated investors know sometimes a loan feature is worth paying a slightly higher rate for. You have to quantify the benefit.
Okay, like the 100% offset account. Big one for investors. Why pay more for that?
Because it saves you interest in a tax-effective way, plus gives you liquidity. Money in the offset reduces the loan principal for the daily interest calculation.
So it's non-taxable savings, effectively.
Right, but you need to do the maths. Does the interest saved by having, say, $50 sitting in the offset outweigh the cost of the slightly higher rate on the whole loan? It's an optimization call.
Makes sense. And the other big one, interest-only repayments, IO. Very strategic, but risky.
Highly strategic for cash flow, definitely, and tax efficiency, because you're maximizing the deductible interest component. You see it a lot in models like BRRR, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat.
Right, that capital recycling model relies on freeing up cash quickly.
But yeah, there's a core risk everyone knows is coming, the payment shock.
When that IO period ends.
Exactly. The loan automatically switches to principal and interest repayments and your monthly outgoing jumps, sometimes significantly.
So investors using IO are consciously accepting that future shock for the short-term cash flow benefits needed for their next deal.
That's often the trade-off, yes. They plan for it.
Okay, so wrapping this up for you listening, what's the key takeaway? It seems like successful refinancing isn't just chasing that low headline rate.
Not at all. It's about really optimizing the loan structure for your specific strategy and actively managing the lender's perception of your risk through things like LVR and valuations.
And looking bigger picture, there's this interesting tension, isn't there, with legal structures?
Yeah, a real paradox pops up. You see these attractive retail refinance offers, sometimes big cashback deals, you know, up to maybe $4,000.
Which sounds great. Free money.
But often, the fine print explicitly excludes applications made via companies or trusts.
Ah. So sophisticated investors who use those structures for asset protection or maybe tax planning.
They face a direct choice. Stick with the long-term benefits of their company or trust structure, or potentially restructure or at least apply personally to grab that short-term cash incentive.
It's a fundamental conflict between optimal legal structure and immediate financial gain, something you really need to factor into your high-level strategy.
Absolutely. Food for thought.